This morning, as I was looking to the Lord for what He wanted, it seemed that everything that He kept bringing to my heart was different. So I finally said, Lord, I'm going to just give this back to You. How many know God can handle anything? Okay?
Amen.
So if you'll just bow your heads, we're going to obey. Amen? Say it with me. With God's grace,
I will obey.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, you're in now. You noticed it. It's not just Kim that's going to obey. It's I will obey. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, the scripture says, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 12, that God will give visions. God will give you all kinds of gifts by His Spirit. Okay? And many years ago, I've had the privilege of having quite a few spiritual fathers. And some of them were very much of an irritation, just like my physical father was sometimes. And it was God's plan. God's plan allows you to have all kinds of experiences so that you can be developed. Because He's got an ultimate goal in mind. And His goal is really to be your father, and as a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather, sometimes I think I know best. Amen? So your Heavenly Father definitely has those attributes of a dad. He does know best. And a couple weeks ago, I was able to pick up our friend Doug Fortune's new book called In Earth as in Heaven. Why on earth should I pray? Wasting my time, right? Those of you who know Doug will be with us in the fall for the Feast of Tabernacles this year again. So that's going to be an exciting time. But I'd like to give you a couple of quotes that are kind of neat from his book that I thought might be helpful to you. Because your Heavenly Father is on the job. But expectations are all about control. How many have expectations? Get rid of them. When I had these expectations in my life, I found that God came in and made a mess out of every one of them. He put all kinds of obstacles so that I wouldn't have those expectations coming in because they were into the control area and I didn't understand that. Expectancy is the opposite. It is all about abandonment. When I really give my expectations to the Lord, and I let Him form the expectations in my heart, I abandon myself to His plan. Isn't that cool? So expectations can be a certain relationship killer. Expectancy is a relationship builder. Expectancy is a relationship builder. Now, in my case, my dad, when I was very young, was awesome. He spoiled me rotten in many ways. But then because of financial difficulties, a breakdown in my mom, he became focused on making a living, survival, and whatever time he had was occupied. And how many know that when you're a kid, you're quite selfish?
Oh, yeah.
And very needy. Well, my needs were not being met, and I became resentful. He had more time for his leisure and sometimes his bottle on the weekend than he had for me. How many have ever tasted alcohol in a family member? Thank you. So you know that the real God in their life and the real important person in their life is themselves, because they're trying to get rid of the pain and the problem. So my expectations are about me trying to control them. But I didn't see it. My expectancy was not even there. I couldn't abandon him to God until I finally decided, after I was born again and spirit-filled, that God wanted me to let him go. And boy, I'll tell you, I really didn't want to let him go. I wanted to straighten him out. I wanted to teach him what a father was like. I had two boys of my own by that time, and I knew what he was supposed to do. But you know what? The longer I held on to what I knew, the deeper I got into despair, depression, anger, control, pride. You want a list? I could keep on going for about another half hour. Expectations and expectancy in prayer. Do we approach prayer with expectations or with expectancy? That might depend on whether we approach prayer as a relationship based upon a function. Once again, we see the same principle coming into play. Although there may be a functional outcome to prayer, or in other words, an answer to prayer, we cannot approach prayer the same functional relationship as getting our car fixed. Unfortunately, that may be often how we approach Father, the heavenly mechanic that will fix our problem. Kind of cool, huh? In our task-oriented Western culture, we read verses like John 14, verses 13 and 14, and expect certain preconceived results. Kind of like a cause and effect formula. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Perhaps we have assumed that the magic formula is tacking the words "in Jesus' name" on the end of our prayer. Guess what? It's all about control, isn't it? For much of my life, I was in that booth. But you know what? If you would have told me that I was a controller, I would have told you you're out of your tree. That's right. Later on, I learned about Jezebel and Ahab, and I found out that I was both. I was under the anointing of both of them. I could seduce to the best, I could compromise to the best, and I could control to the best. Thank you. You understand, I'm trying to give you a heads up here. God knows all about you and me. Amen. And he loves to advertise what he knows. Before we started the service, I shared with you about a miracle that happened this week, that there was some healing going on with an individual who did me much harm. And that happened this week. What you don't know, Gail, is that your vision fits right in, because that's the scripture I used about Joseph being stabbed in the back and God allowing it for his glory. Thank you. See, the body of Christ is you. The body of Christ is every single one of you. And you can say, oh my God, I'm not effective enough. I'm not good enough. I've got news for you. He is qualifier, not you. He is qualifier. He is going to qualify you for what he needs out of you, and to recreate whatever he needs to recreate, and to regenerate whatever needs to be regenerated. And you're not quite smart enough to do it on your own. Now, the secret formula that began this work of transformation in me was 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, Pray always. For this is God's will for Kim, who belongs to Christ. Okay? Give thanks. For the irritable ones. Give thanks for the ones that are a pain in the butt. And I'll be honest with you. The biggest irritation for me for a season in my life was my dad. So I would pray very similarly to this. Well, Lord God, I'm going to thank you for my dad just the way he is. I don't mean one of these words because they don't make sense to me, but I'm going to thank you for the way he is because that's what your word says to do. I don't even like saying the prayer, but your word says to do this, so I'm doing it, and I'm not happy. But I'll give you praise anyway. I was an expert. Why do you think I can love you guys? Because I've been there first. So, this was after I read the book Prison to Praise. Why do you think we give them away? You see, it was my experience that caught me, so that God could get me to where he needed me. So out of my pain, I grew up and I matured a little bit. 6 weeks after I got that book, which it was an awesome book, and it still is, I was driving to work. It was around 8:30 in the morning. I'll never forget it. I'm on Palmer Road. I'm heading underneath the underpass to go to the store. And for those of you who are listening to this and don't know me, I was a furniture dealer for 20 years, so I was on my way to work. And my dad was definitely my biggest irritation. And I could remember nothing of what he had ever done that was of quality. But all of a sudden, I got to the underpass, and I had a vision. Because I had just said my prayer as I was driving. Lord, thank you for Dad, just the way he is. And I wasn't quite so angry that day. There wasn't quite as much response, you know, in my heart to what the prayer was. I was now becoming a little more mechanical with it. I mean, you know, mechanical is good. So anyway, bottom line is, I got to the curve, and there's only room for one car comfortably underneath that underpass. Well, I never made it. I ended up parking on the side of the road because I broke into tears because the vision was of my dad loving me. And it didn't fit any of the memories that I had because all the good stuff that he had ever done was erased by the pain. All of the love that he had ever given me was washed away by all of the hurt, the rejection, the selfishness that was involved in my life with him. What he had done, what he was doing to my mom, what he was doing to my family, because I couldn't see any further than my pain. And that day it broke. That day, I began to say thank you for Jesus, loving him, transforming him, and giving me back a love for him. To be honest with you, I really didn't want that love back because it was painful as hell. But you know what? It's 21 years since he's gone to be with my Heavenly Father this week. And it still hurts that I miss him so much because God healed my heart. God healed my emotions. They bowed their knee, both my mom and my dad. And from that day that I wept, they came to the Lord, they accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and were transformed. They were brand new beings, new creations. And I'll be honest with you, if you said to me, Kim, would you go back through all the hurt and all the pain and all the rejection, I'd say absolutely, just to remember that day when they walked up and said, yes, we want to accept him as Lord and Savior. And I had that privilege to be with them. So you see,
God knows about your expectations.
God knows about your pain. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. Our Father. That's the heading that the Lord told us when we pray. Jesus begins with words that set the very foundation and atmosphere of our prayer. Our Father. Let that word stir within you for a while. Our Father, not my Father, although He certainly is my Father. Our Father, in one word, He instantly takes the emphasis off of me and redirects my thinking for another level. I find it significant that it is the very first word of our prayer. Our is corporate. It speaks of a joining together. Our is personal and possessive, but it is also plural. Why am I picking on you? Because I'm picking on me. Not to be so selfish. Not to be so self-centered. But to really understand that whatever has happened between you and your dad, however you may have had difficulties, hurts, pain, experiences that were horrible, just remember, he still was able, by God the Father, to release a seed out of millions to create you. Amen. So when the word says that we're one in a million, we are. So look at your neighbor. Say, you are also one in a million. That's why I chose you. Amen? It's a reality. You are not here by accident. You were not created by accident. This is not a plan from darkness that actually made you be who you are. You are a heavenly choice. He's the one that said yes to you. And you happen to become what you are because of His grace. And sometimes letting you go through the hardship for whatever reason or purpose, there was an ultimate goal. And that ultimate goal is to get you to know the Creator. Amen. And our Father. Amen. The other thing that I had today was a small, little, tiny vision. And that vision was that there may be a little bit of a miracle that has happened between you and your dad. And it would be wise if you would just obey. So would you just bow your heads one more time? Say, Lord Jesus, whatever you bring to my heart, I promise to give out to the body of Christ. So that they can be blessed because of what you've done for me and my dad. Let's not have all your hands up at the same time because then I'll have a problem. Good girl.
The week before my dad passed, he was getting sicker and sicker and couldn't get out of bed. And his priest that came to the house, it was, which I didn't know was going to be the day before he passed, but he came to bring him communion because he was Catholic. And since my dad hadn't eaten anything in almost 4 days, he dissolved the host in the wine and was giving it to him in bed. My sister and I were hiding because Father Ed was in my dad's bedroom, and my sister and I were kind of like little kids hiding or in the other room, just kind of peeking around the corner and praying. And my father hadn't said anything. This was on Friday morning, and my dad hadn't spoken any words since Monday. And, you know, Father Ed, which totally believe that he is a believer, not just, he wasn't just a priest, he knew the Lord, and knows the Lord. And as he's about to give him the communion, he said, now Ed, because my dad's name was Edward, and he said, now Ed, he goes, you love Jesus, and he goes, tell him you love him. And my father, my dad was a good man, but he had never professed. He showed the love of the Lord in lots of ways without being a holy kind of guy. But my father spoke out, my dad spoke out loud, I love Jesus. My sister and I literally fell to the floor. I hold that in my heart. What, with a total confirmation, knowing that he's with the Lord now, because he passed at 5 o'clock Saturday morning. And that gives my sister and I so much comfort. Now, at communion this morning, I saw this big hunk sticking out of the middle of the soft. And the Lord had me take it for my mother's father, who was not a good man. Not a good man. But he was an incredible artist. He painted, you know, portraits, and incredible artist. And the Lord, through him, he painted wonderful things. Now, he never said, according to my mother and my sister, people who knew him, never said a kind word about the Lord, about a priest, about anything. And so the Lord had me take that communion for him, saying, and it's like, I know that my dad is with the Lord, but I don't know where my nonno is, my grandfather is. But the Lord just gave me comfort this morning by taking communion for him. So, praising and thanking the Lord in this time.
Amen. Anyone else?
Mine doesn't even compare to Mary Ann's. The only memories I have of my father are pain and hurt and no relationship. But I can thank God for that, because if I hadn't gone through all that, I never, never would have sought Jesus, the cross, and the deep meaning of it if I hadn't had that. So I thank the Lord that those things took place in my life, because that's what propelled me in such a deep, intense search, and the Lord has answered that.
Praise God.
Amen. Wonderful.
Anyone else? Yes.
The Lord had been oppressing on me at this time to connect with my father, which he's in prison, and he was showing me how I had held so much anger and resentment towards him, and that I needed to forgive him so I can be free. Not so much about anything else. So I had prayed, and all the way up had just was seeking God and just having a fatherly love type thing. And I'll tell you, he covered me, because when I went through those doors, I had never been treated so awesome in that, going through the doors, the officers smiling. They were actually chatting with me. Usually they're very stone-faced and unapproachable, and yet they were just very kind to me, and I knew that it was God's signature of favor. So I went through all those doors, and then I get to see my father, and I'm looking at him, and he's like, why are you here? It's been a long time. And right away I just said, I'm here because I just want to ask for forgiveness for resenting you for so many years and abandoning us. And never did I see somebody so hard just melt like butter right before my eyes. And I knew it was God just setting us both free from those past resentments of just not having that relationship, that I'm able to now go in and talk to him and be embraced by him. And then he just turned his face and he goes, we're family. And for me to hear that, because there's been such a separation in my life with family and having us all come together because of deaths and just because of, what do you call it, the boundaries of color, because I have, you know, mixture in my family, that, you know, it was such a thing going on that it was actually brought unity between me and my father. Now I'm able to go in there. I'm able to hug him really without having all those barriers up. So I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
And amen. We agree.
Amen.
Thank you.
Do you have a few more minutes?
Oh, yes.
This man is a testimony to that. I never knew my father. I was born in this country. My father died. He was 35 years old. And then we went back to Portugal. My mother remarried. We married a man that used to hit us for no reason at all because he was drinking constantly. He spent all the money that my mother took from here, and from what I understand was quite a bit. I was too young to remember, but I was told. So I used to hate him so much. Not too long ago, how many years?
7, 10, somewhere in there.
He was so sick. He ended up in a nursing home. I would go see him. He had not a heart attack, but a stroke. And he was dribbling all the time. And I would wipe him. And I would hug him. I really loved him. And this man, I asked him, because then he went to France, and because he spent all the money in Portugal, so he went to France, and then my mother followed, and I went to visit him. And I sent for them. I never thought I would see him in this country again. And I called Mr. Kim over here. He used to love to speak French. So I says, I'm going to ask my pastor because he loves to speak French. So he went with me, and he spoke to him in French about salvation. And Kim said to me, now, Maria, you tell him in Portuguese. So I did. And he said all the words, and he was weeping. Remember, Kim? He was crying and crying and crying. And I was going through a depression at the time. And sometimes I couldn't go and see him, so he would ask the nurse, can I please have a phone? I want to call my daughter. He never called me daughter. And he would say, oh, daughter, you must be so sick because you can't come in to see me. And like I say, I used to hug him, and I really loved him. And then I had a picture of the Sacred Heart, and I took it to him, and I put it on his nightstand, and I says, Jesus loves you, and you talk to him all the time. And he would weep and weep and weep. And like I say, if anybody, he was hated by all of us, because there was three brothers and two sisters, and three sisters, and even his own children, he would spank for no reason at all. And I know that he is in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I thank God for that.
Amen.
Yep.
Anyone else? Yep. Yeah. I thought so. Go ahead, dear.
Well, my dad passed away right about a year ago today. I'm not sure which exactly the date. Uh-huh. But he was, we didn't show love a lot at home, but he was very loving. And some of his last words were to make sure that my mom was taken care of. Uh-huh. He was much more concerned about her than he was
about himself. And that's a gift, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm not speaking of my father. He's still with us. But I want to speak on defense of the fathers here in the United States, because I got caught up in it too. is most, I've been hearing the same theme, that there's not much love shown. It's not, you know, we all knew it, but it wasn't shown. In this nation, unfortunately, we men are raised, you assume, you know that we love you. If a man's heard saying, I love you, oh my God, for years it was looked down upon as a sissy, no good. He had to be the strong one, the one that was always there. Mom was there to coddle. But there's something that, as a man, I can say that most people have forgotten. But somebody, a few people in here already know, men need to be coddled even though they don't admit it. Because we need love. We're strong. But you women have the emotions to give what we don't have sometimes to give. I mean, I look at it and I say, you know, this isn't fair, Lord. I just want to break down and cry. But if I do, then in my wife's eyes, I am dirt. But now that is my raising. You don't understand. That's my raising. And, you know,
upbringing.
That's how I was raised. I mean, this man knows my family as well as hers. And on my mother's side, oh no, you did not cry, you little wuss, you little girl. You did not shed a tear. You accepted like a man and you walked forward. If something got in your way, go right through it. So, yes, the guys have a tendency in this nation to not show the love. But I'll guarantee you, as you found out, it eats them up when they can't. We don't know how without looking like we're babies. So for those of you that are hearing this overseas and you're going, boy, that country really is something else. It's the way we are raised. It's starting to turn now slowly. It seems to be, from what I can tell, the men are making the change.
Yes. And that's God's grace to us.
So, and that's great. And I'm doing what I can for myself, but it's a slow boat. And I hope you ladies have a great Father's Day. And for those of you that have your fathers with you, give them a hug, even though they're going to go, yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll go in the other room and they'll love it.
Anyone else?
Fathers, because they don't understand it, and I do, being Italian. My father, I had great parents, both of them. I mean, couldn't have any better parents than both of them. But they did come from a culture back then that their way of showing love is just by giving you things, being there,
supply,
providing for you, whatever. You know, the huggy, huggy, feely, feely for them wasn't natural. So I try to explain to people, it's like, doesn't mean that they didn't love you, because my parents would cut off their arms for us. I mean, we came first no matter what, and all the love was there. But it's hard. It takes a while to break out of the cultural bondage or hold or whatever it's called. But, you know, when they got older, they started seeing the importance of the hugs, saying I love you, saying this. But like he said, you know, when you're from a different culture, from a different, you just can't express what you really feel. But, you know, this generation, much, much better.
Much
like
better.
He said, the men have changed and more caring, more attentive to their children. Before they were just the providers, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just there, provided. But now, like, even when I see my brother with his children, I would have never thought that he'd be that active with them, that attentive with them, and whatever.
It's like that in Portugal.
Right. Most of
them never show their, they never hug or say I love you.
Right. But just like I said, with my parents, I knew that there was no greater love than what they had for us.
Right.
But that's just how they were raised.
And she had said, cultural kind of find the word. You know, it goes right into what you were saying, is what popped in is the cultural expectations, the control
yes.
of the culture.
I think right now what I would like you to do is to just close your eyes. And those who are listening to this, do the same. Put your right hand over your heart. And say, the Lord Jesus,
the Lord Jesus
is a healer.
He is
one
that can pull down the strongholds
and make them flexible under the fire of the Holy Spirit. So I'm expecting today your plan to unfold
for our fathers
and our Heavenly Father.
Because
he is still in control.
We're trusting him
to give us the grace
and the healing we need
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.